and Moral March on Washington on Saturday. Oh, and Liz, I also want to congratulate your sister, Jean Theo Harris. The film The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks, based on Jean's best-selling book by the same title, just premiered last night at the Tribeca Film Festival, directed by our former Democracy Now! Producer, Yoruba Richin, as well as Johanna Hamilton. It is fantastic, not to be missed by anyone. It was at the Tribeca Film Festival. And that does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warmanoff, Camille Baker, Tarina Ndura, Sam Alkoff, Tamer Astu, Dio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Masood, Mary Conlin. On Monday, a Juneteenth special. Don't miss it on Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe.
Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programmings of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing, unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Governance and Policy Committee meets quarterly on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify that a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Good in the Hood from Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th at King School Park in Portland. Good in the Hood is an annual three-day benefit festival celebrating unity in the community. Festivities include live music, food, and a parade. Again, that's Good in the Hood from Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th at King School Park, 4815 Northeast 7th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is my colleague, Althea Billings. How are you, Althea?
I'm doing well. I thought you were going to say associate.
Ooh.
My associate.
That feels like we're going to do crime together or something.
Well,
I'm not saying we're not.
Is
not
that a new cut of the theme song?
It is, yeah. It's a longer version of it.
Okay, nice.
And yeah, it sounds a little bit different. I guess whenever they try to edit it, they just do it a little different.
Yeah.
But it is a new cut. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so if you feel like ending a minute and 38 seconds ahead of time, we'll be set.
Okay, you give me the nod, and I'll know that that's what you want to do. So yes, this is The Gap. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in this morning. This is a show where we're bridging the generational divide. That's part of it. Bridging the gap, minding the gap, filling it in. And we like to do our show in two parts here. The first half, we typically do a news roundup. Oftentimes we have interviews. And in the second half, we open up our phone lines with our community question and invite our listeners to call in. So stick around at around 8:30. We'll get to that. But boy, if there isn't just so much news to cover today that we got some digesting to do.
Especially after the heels on the hills of hills. And the heels of Democracy Now.
Yeah, definitely on, you know, there. She's on it, Amy.
Amy's
shout out,
on
Amy.
It, yeah. And happy birthdays and happy everything and new babies and everything. Lots of joys happening there in New York.
Yes. Glad to hear it. Good for them.
But yeah, like you said, a lot of things are happening in the news, which, you know, are happening in person and being reported on. Yeah, it feels like my head is spinning. And all of these are very related to one another.
Yeah.
And then also there are the joyous festivities of, you know, like Juneteenth. And,
yeah, this coming weekend.
As Pride. So it's a lot's happening locally, internationally. And we're here to talk about it.
Yeah.
So
do you want to dive in? You ready for
it? We can, yeah. It's just such a strange, bizarre... I never in my life thought that I'd be saying a sentence like, 31 white supremacists cram into a U-Haul in order to provoke a riot at a Pride event.
Yep.
What a straight... Like, I never thought those words would come together.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, talking about in Idaho earlier this week in Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, they got him.
They got and why'd they get him? Because someone called.
Someone called.
You
someone
know?
Was like, hey, a little army got into this U-Haul. I wonder which size U-Haul it was. I didn't look that up.
It looked like it was the one for like a apartment bedroom apartment.
They weren't spendy on the.
I mean,
U-Haul
listen,
then.
So considering they all had their matching uniforms,
yeah,
and someone had to cash out for the U-Haul,
yeah.
My question was who's giving the money for this? And then of course they were bailed out by an anonymous person. So,
oh
yeah.
Shoot, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So that's also really
yeah, and
creepy.
So many of them came from out of state. They
someone got to pay the troll toll, you know.
Yeah, I haven't heard from U-Haul in all of this.
Not
I was
a
thinking about
statement.
That yesterday, like in the wake of Charlottesville, the makers of tiki torches were like, "Hey, whoa, not us, okay." We're not white nationalists. Tiki torches are for everybody. But where's U-Haul, you know?
The tiki torches did take a hit after that.
Yeah, U-Haul's kind of cornered the market. Maybe they don't care. Like, what are you going to rent a Penske? I don't think so.
Quick
you know?
Question. Was the tiki torches and the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville?
Yeah.
Because that's where one of the people from this white supremacist group he was there and I got into like a bit of a rabbit hole. I hate getting into rabbit holes about like things that are about white supremacy and white supremacist groups, because first of all the first commercial that I got was one from Benzo, so he's looking for more listenership, so he's actually promoting himself on YouTube on ads that are related to the radicalization of white men.
Whoa.
YouTube, I'm telling you, it's like they have no shame. No
yeah.
shame whatsoever. It's like one makes the other. Come on now. Like,
yeah.
Anywho's. But apparently they were like one group and then they splintered off because there was an incident, the terrorist attack of like one of their members like ramming their car into protesters.
Huh.
So after that they're like, oh no guys, sorry, we're not, it's like the Vanguard America or something, and then they splintered off to become this new group now that is just incredibly hateful. And like
yeah.
you said, a lot of them were, I mean, were they trafficked into there? I don't understand what this is. This is so weird. And it just looks like they were well, they're just so well coordinated. And it's so, I just find it so scary because like they have to learn this stuff from somewhere. And even the chief of police himself was like, oh yeah, this looked like a military drill or like a police drill, you know?
Yeah.
And even one of the people that was found in the back of the U-Haul, like what a strange sentence to say. He was a Idaho National Guard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that part of the conspiracy to riot charge was that they had plans of, like, the where the festival was located in the downtown area. They, like, mapped it all out. We're going to riot here. We're going to riot here. We're going to terrorize these people that are located over here.
And they didn't have guns, but they did have weapons on them. And I had shared... Yeah.
I think maybe one or two people had a gun because I heard that there was additional charges for, like, people who...
Mm. I wouldn't
were,
be...
like, felons that had guns. Or
oh,
whatever.
Gotcha. I wouldn't be...
Because, mind you, all of these are sure. misdemeanor charges that
yeah,
they're facing.
This misdemeanor... The conspiracy to riot is a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like it was a conspiracy to murder, but I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't want to speculate, but if you are trained, then you know that it will probably be safer for you to have like a spot where you have an arsenal, and then you go and you pick it up there, then that's probably like closer to wherever it is that you're trying to terrorize. So maybe that's why, I don't know, but it was strange to me that they weren't like all of them packing like AR-15s because yeah. I'm just so used to that site. But also, how come the cops were so like they faced with, as in their words, a small army, yet when there is an active shooter in a school, they're all waiting around like looking at each other.
Yeah.
Terrified. They're too scared, too stunned to speak.
Yeah.
Yet here, I mean, they didn't look scared.
No. They're not coming at them with
yeah.
Of course. The other thing I would point out is that like even without these white supremacists getting in the mix, I believe it was the first time there was a big pride event held in Coeur d'Alene, and there were like people screaming at them, people walking around with rifles. I don't know about ARs, but like people walking around with guns.
Yeah, I apparently that town itself was known to be like a hot spot, a hub for Nazis and
yeah.
hardcore hate. So they were trying to rebrand themselves as not that, and
yeah.
so it was interesting.
Trying
to
make
hear.
Progress, some would
yeah,
say.
Trying yeah. to trying to make progress and openly doing it, not just like behind closed doors. Like,
yeah.
oh yeah, I'll accept you. Trying to like openly do it, and I guess. So when I was reading about this, some of the townspeople, some of the folks that live in the community.
Are we townspeople?
We are townspeople.
That's fun.
They were really upset about, well, I mean, obvious, for
yeah.
obvious reasons. And on top of it, they were like, what, like, we don't want this in our town anymore. We are
yeah.
actively trying to change this. And that made me directly go to think of Newburgh and the Newburgh
yeah.
School District and why it's so important to visibly show that you're supporting something, because death is what's awaiting most of us if we don't have people to show that like we want you in our community, you know, like
yeah.
we want minorities in our community, we want you know, like trans folks in our community, and we're going to stand up for them, and we're going to visibly have flags of like BLM or like pride flags, you know.
Yeah.
Because and that's the important, like this is why folks do that. This is why
yeah.
it's important.
Super important. Yeah, just a little bit of background if folks are not haven't heard the Newburgh stuff. The school board voted last summer to ban BLM and pride flags, pins, any kind of, you know, solidarity type stuff from school, and they said other political symbols, but they specifically went after BLM and pride. And it's been a long road to try to fight it. Their superintendent was fired because he wouldn't enforce it, because it is of course unconstitutional, and it was a 4-3 vote, and the three, you know, people who didn't support it have quit in the last month. So,
and they also had like another, wasn't there like a lawyer that was somewhat associated with Trump that was,
oh yeah, I think that's their new guy,
yeah,
their new superintendent or their new lawyer or something.
Much like the new season's also hiring lawyers that worked with Trump. Interesting how all these people are.
And we'll get to him.
Huh.
We'll get to him.
Sheesh. I have a, oh, we can keep going. I do have a short video, or it's very short, of, again, like kind of that through line of why, like, there is this violence isn't, it's not
isolated.
It's not isolated. Thank you, Althea. It
yeah.
is not isolated. And as I was reading this, I apparently, there was a student walkout after a transgender student was assaulted
yeah.
at Kalama
yeah.
High School.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, I swear I live in a bubble or something.
Yeah.
I I couldn't believe that in a school. I don't know why. Again, because literally, there's so much movement to try to install hate within schools and to suppress and to oppress students that are minorities, or just everything. And these students were like, no, we're walking out of here. We're not doing this. Yeah. And they shut down the school because of it. And I have, and it's a little bit graphic, the students describing what happened. But I think that it's definitely worth a listen, and I'd like to share it.
Go for it.
Okay, cool.
Students walking out after a horrific attack of a transgender student.
I watched a student take his steel-toed boot to the head of another student, and he repeatedly was hitting the student over and over again and calling him slurs.
The student who was attacked has returned to school but was hospitalized after what happened.
And the student had been on the ground begging him to stop, and he just kept going.
There was a horrific hate crime that happened on campus.
These students, Lily and Katrina, say they've been bullied several times before. Lily says she's had textbooks thrown at her and silence from the administration, particularly what they say is silence from principal Heidi Bunker.
It's just really heartbreaking to not be taken seriously when these are our lives at stake.
There are a lot of emotions that we do understand, that it can feel like that. It can feel like nothing is happening.
Bunker was not available for an interview herself today, but communications manager Nick Shanmack says they're working with police to investigate last week's quote-unquote altercation. Shanmack says student privacy laws keep them from sharing information, and they hear students' concerns about bullying.
So if students are saying that they feel this, that they feel like there is a problem, then there's truth to that. And as a school, as a district, we need to be listening.
Katrina says she's not convinced until she sees the school take action.
You'd think that after so many students have gone to them for hate speech and asking them to help and telling them that they need these bullies to stop, that they would do something. We shouldn't have had to come to this point to have to rally together for them to listen to us.
I hate how he said, he said incident.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
Altercation.
Altercation, yeah. Hate crime.
Yeah, it was a hate crime.
And this is real. This is now. This isn't, and during, during Pride Month.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Kids, going for help and doing nothing to help them. And that poor kid has to return to school.
Sure, yeah.
They're like, oh, don't worry, he's back. He's back where he was assaulted. This is super cool. I'm sure you can't wait to graduate.
Oh man, it's so
it's hard enough to get kids to want to go to school,
right?
And they legally have to.
Yeah, if you're not going to protect them while they're there, I mean, this is another example of violence that kids face in schools.
Yeah,
and there's there's another video that I saw. It was a mother of one of the folks that got. That was in the U-Haul. And she was saying that she knew about what he was into, and she knew that he was part of this, but she never thought he'd get this far. You knew, and he did nothing. I'm sorry, Mom. You're pretty culpable too. You need to do something, actively. This is your responsibility. You know.
Well, I mean, if. They're a full adult. I think that changes
to a full adult that lives at home.
A full adult that lives at home. I mean, I'm not trying to say that the mom has no responsibility. If there's even an inkling that someone in your life has these kinds of violent intentions and you don't intervene, you don't.
She was saying
try to do something about it.
She's most concerned about his kids, and that's you should. And she said, I don't want them to be, I don't want them to be raised in that extremist environment.
That's good.
And that's.
But you already raised an extremist.
These are all, Lothia, you're making great, great points.
Yeah, I'm just talking through my thoughts.
These are all just thoughts coming from, and these are ongoing news. There are ongoing developments about this. And there's this quote from, Eric Ward that I love so much, and it when he was doing a panel about Skin in the Game, and it was specifically about anti-Semitism, but mm-hmm. His quote said, white nationalists don't bring bigotry into our community. They merely organize a bigotry that already exists.
Mm.
And stoking up flame. This is what we see all of the time. They're teaching the kids how to be gay in the schools.
Yeah.
What? What? Like, we're not even going to unpack, like, the notion of, well, you're teaching, you know, heterosexuality in schools, but that's okay. Like, I don't understand. But, you know, besides that, and, like, the whole CRT thing and all the mask mandates and, or like, all the, you know, like, anti-mask mandate stuff, like, all of these are to stoke up grievances that already exist in communities. And, yeah, definitely there are grievances in communities, and, yeah, we need to come together and figure them out, and we can't let people, you know, become so disgruntled from whatever it is that they turn to these alternative to you know, to like these websites that say, well, you're poor because of minorities, and you know, like stuff like the, you know, you don't have a job because, you know, other people have jobs, you know, like all these different theories and conspiracy theories that are not even, that can so easily be, you know, busted and poked holes in that logic. But
I mean, I think all of it, like each one of those kind of things that you were mentioning, you know, anti-mask or don't say gay or whatever, it's all meant to stoke fear.
Yeah.
Because when you're afraid, you literally have, you know, fight, flight, or fawn or whatever, you know, like they want people's adrenaline pumping because you're not making decisions knowing that people in your community could be impacted. You get back to the part of your brain that says it's me, myself, and I. It's them or me, and I gotta protect myself. And it's because we don't, you know, most of us don't live in a way in which we need to, like, you know, for like go kill an animal to eat every day, you know. We like our threats to our well-being are more abstract, and therefore we can make them as big as we want to because it's not grounded in physical reality for a lot of people. And so I think that that's why stuff that for us facially seems incredibly irrational, like, what do you can't wear a, like, why is it bad for you to wear a mask to the supermarket if it means your neighbor might, like, not die? Is that bad somehow? I'm not really sure how that's bad. Like, you can say that you don't want to, but why is it still wrong, you know? But when it becomes acting out of fear or indignation, or like that I'm standing up for myself, you know, I think you get like all of these really extreme things make sense if you're coming at it from that place of fear that is being riled up in you all the time from every angle, because that's like someone who is afraid, who feels like they're under threat, is going to be easier to control, easier to convince them, hey, you got to do this. You're in danger. You got to do this. The CRT's coming to your schools. They're going to teach your kid to be a Marxist. Or I don't even know if they think about Marxism, but like...
God, you said it. You say it one more time and someone's going to show up at the door.
The ghost of Karl Marx will show up. Beetlejuice. Not going to say the third one. Okay.
Yeah, fear is it plays a huge role in all of this, and it's a fear for your way of life, for American values, for what is it, family, whatever.
Family values. Yeah, family, like, values. Like getting to the heart of it.
And it's
like asking somebody in that place to articulate what's actually threatening them.
Yeah, and it's you can, it's like what is it, the dude talking about White Boy Summer. It's like, it's about
Chet
time
Hanks,
for, yeah,
your
for
best
white
friend.
Boys. Like, well, and Z-Way saying, well, what's the difference between that, like, in the last 400 years?
Yeah, when has it not been
and
White Boy Summer?
It's like not.
We can link this interview, by the way. It's
who
funny.
Is actually being threatened for their, literally, their way for just existing?
Yeah.
We see, we know. We just talked about it. We see it every single day.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's. Yeah, it's not. Sorry, I'll say it. It's not. White dudes, like, I'm sorry, it's not. And I understand the class war and class interest, or sorry, the class interest,
yeah,
and how the systems that we live under. They affect everyone. If you think that you aren't affected by it, I'm sorry to tell you, probably are. And we're all affected by it differently. And to, and it's kind of like slides into our next subject of conversation. If you can't find the through line or like the link that get that we're like, we're on the same team, you know? And I don't understand how people, and again, like the enemies can see that. Why can't you, you know? Or like the rich can see that. Why can't you? Like, you really think you're going to like, what are you? It's like you, it's like this little army. Yeah. It's like the little army of white supremacists. Like someone else is like, it seems to me, and I don't want to start like, you know, doing like conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
But someone bailed them all out.
Yeah.
That's, was it mutual aid like it was for, you know, like during 2020, like when it was like literally mutual aid popping up everywhere to get people out for expressing their First Amendment or their protected rights of protesting?
Yeah.
It's like, so this is like the little vanguard of oppression, like the vanguards of the status quo. This is what they are. And if they think that they're like changing anything or making it better for anyone, They're not. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not. If they're just straight up racist and bigots,
well, they know what they're about.
Then you know what you're about. But if this is like a convoluted way of like trying to be like, well, I'm changing something because there are people who are trying to ruin my way of life. Betty, unpack that a little bit. What do you mean by way of life?
Point to something material.
Yes.
Well, and why? And let's sit with that feeling of why you feel attacked about it.
And it's
because
and it's
a
hard.
Lot of some people can look at material things. There's mm-hmm. like the students at Kalama High, for example, they can look to something material that is threatening them. Mm-hmm. What's threatening you?
It's a good question. Yeah. And is it like, I can't get a job? Okay. That's, I can, financial instability.
You're worried. Yeah.
Okay. We can work this. Like, we can work on this together.
Yeah.
But it's like the grievances I'm hearing, it's like, well, there are homeless people everywhere, and then there's gay people everywhere, and you hear that blacks can actually run for office now. It's like, well, okay, buddy, do you know what that is called? That's called bigotry. This is not, these aren't issues. Like, that is, like, you're the issue, not everyone. Like, come on now, bud.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, what is... And I love your, when we had a meeting earlier this week, and he said, what is the value, what do you think the value, what does this person think the value is of what they're bringing?
Yeah.
And so I wonder, like, what, or to themselves, I wonder if this will be an eye-opening experience. And they're like, oh, I really need to change my ways.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so this was a question that I had, and we can just spend a couple minutes on it, because I know we want to get to our second part. But one thing I was, so this is a combination of a couple thoughts, but, you know, tracing the white nationalists and white supremacists under the Obama administration, it wasn't cool to be racist anymore. They were all tail between their legs, mm-hmm. hanging out wherever. Trump gets elected. Of course, it becomes very in vogue. They're having parties all over the place. They're calling them rallies or something. It becomes acceptable to be a white nationalist again. And then now we're seeing how far that has metastasized, right? And a lot of, or not, I don't even know if I would say a lot of, but the response that this stuff has gotten online, I guess, some of the discourse about it is like making fun of these guys that were in the back of the van, making fun of their appearance. And I'm a little torn about it, not because, hey, don't say anything mean about people who intended to hurt others, like that, I don't really care about that. Like, I'm sympathetic to the idea that it should be embarrassed, like they should be really embarrassed.
Sure, yeah.
I think anything we can do to make them feel embarrassed, but at the same time, I feel like, I don't know, just like clowning these dudes, being like, they look like a, like if a scientist tried to like generate a caveman off of a skull, you know, it's like, huh? Like, is that as far as like the discussion goes, or what is the place of like, I guess humor. I don't know. I guess it's also like mocking and teasing.
Yeah, the internet love clocking people, and they love making fun of people. Like, it's the internet, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that when you're I mean, what else is there to say? You know, like, and like, I like you really want to have, like, I mean, I don't even know what could be said that would be better than that in internet comments.
Yeah, you know? I guess I don't expect that much more. But I mean, it's the same thing with the January 6th hearings, and everybody's talking about Rudy Giuliani was someone testified that he was drunk on election night. And people are like, I've been drunk, but I've never been drunk to the level that it was brought up in a congressional hearing, and that he was leading something that when someone testified was called camp completely nuts. Like, there are these, like, that's kind of funny. It's a little humorous, but I just, because I could go there on, like, why it's funny, and then it's also, like, but I don't just want to get hung up on that or just making fun of it and then losing the scope of, like, this is really bad.
Sure.
And I don't even know that, like, most people have sat down and thought about both of these, you know, events, January 6th, what could have happened in Coeur d'Alene, like, really bad. Really, really bad. Domestic terrorism we're talking about. And is domestic terrorism funny? I don't know that people crack the same kind of jokes when we're talking about domestic terrorists that aren't white. So why is it that white domestic terrorists, and they don't even like being called that, but that's okay, like, that they're just like, look at this goofball, look at this clown, could never get a girl, you know? I'm like, that's part of the point, but like, I don't think they're taken seriously as, like, dangerous.
Sure.
You know?
No, yeah, because I was thinking when you're saying that, when you do have, when that does happen and it's not a white dude, then the first word that I think of that I've seen the most in comments is monster, 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 monster.
Yeah.
And versus, you know, all the stuff that you said. That's an interesting...
I'm kind of putting it together right now. No, I don't know that really it's, like, a bulletproof theory or anything.
No, yeah, that is interesting. I haven't seen, like, the public discourse with, you know, like, people who talk about this on, like, the main stage, mostly just kind of, like, online blogs and local news on their end. So it's not, like, opinion stuff. It's mostly just, like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. This is maybe because this is just as American as apple pie, you know?
Yeah. And I guess maybe there's an aspect of it that, like, both Coeur d'Alene and January 6th were not fully realized, I guess. Sure, they were, like, unsuccessful domestic terrorism attempts. But we've seen successful ones in the past couple weeks. We've seen successful domestic terrorism. I don't know.
I think there's going to be a lot to come back to as things continue to develop. And they're just so... 30 people, we see what one person with a gun can do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary.
Terrifying, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Anyway, maybe we take a little break and come back with our question. What do you think about that?
A short musical break. And I'm extra excited about this
song.
Oh,
is this the song?
Yes, this is the song. We got a special not special request, a special
submission?
A submission, yes. And so I'm really happy, and I can talk about it in a moment. And here it is, Jintro Your Soul.
I nearly stole mine so long ago. I lie in deceit and I jintro your soul. I capture style in your lingo. If I don't receive, I'll just gentro your soul. I don't believe you're past my control. Clearly a grief, so I gentroed your soul. Benefits, please, I pass every toll. Take what you need when I gentro your soul. You don't even understand who and what I really am. I pull the strings behind the scenes. You think you know, but you don't know anything. That's how I prefer that it stay. Deception is my favorite game to play. And there is nothing that you can do or say that's gonna keep having it mine.
in your lingo. If I don't receive, I'll just intro your soul. I don't believe you're past my control. I'm clearly a queen, so I intro your soul. Benefits, please, pass every toll. I will make you bleed as I intro your soul.
Gentro your soul here on KBOO Portland. You're listening to The Gap. Did you like that? It's a local African-American musician, an outstanding poet, an accomplished friend of KBOO's.
Ooh, I did like it.
Yeah, it's really nice. And so thank you so much for sending that over. Oh, wait a sec.
Name?
I do have their name. Look at me. It is Gentro Your Soul by L&T featuring Xavier Frey on vocals and Dr. Knucklehead on guitar.
Hell yeah.
And, oh, and of course, the artist's father, LaVar Larlove, on keys.
Okay. Wow.
Ooh, beautiful.
Give everybody the shouts. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are now into our second part here on The Gap when we open up our phone lines to have our community call in for our question. Tammy, do you want to let the folks know the question?
Yeah. The question itself, well, you know, I'm such a storyteller, you know, everything has a background.
Do it, do it.
Someone has said to me, they said, I don't understand why people here, you know, say free Palestine and end to apartheid all the way there when we have apartheid happening here in indigenous communities. And yes, this is true. But it made me a little sad for the lack of imagination to understand what solidarity means and how it plays out transcontinentally, here, there, everywhere, all the time. Solidarity forever. And it was kind of like, oh, do you not get, like, it's a land back issue, you know, it's like these things, like you said, don't happen in a silo, and
yeah,
you know, and you can do, there's that, you can do both, you know, we can, how they say, walk and chew gum at the same time.
I love that. Yeah, I was just gonna go yes and.
Yes and. So the question is, how do you practice solidarity? And I think it could be a really nice, you know, we can get some nice conversations going, considering that Juneteenth is happening, as well as Pride Month is happening. Yeah. And there's just a lot of, like, there's so much intersections happening this weekend. And I mean, and on our day-to-day lives, because we're not mm-hmm. just one thing. We are complex, and we have so many different things that we care about, and so many different identities that we hold, mm-hmm. And we need each other's support and love and yeah. solidarity. So how do you practice solidarity? 503-231-8187.
Yeah, definitely look forward to hearing what people's thoughts are. 503-231-8187. How do you practice solidarity? Let us know.
Also, if any Juneteenth and Pride events happening, let us know.
Sure. I would love to get a shout for those potentially. And of course, if you would rather write us an email, you can do that as
yes.
well. It's thegapradio@gmail.com. Sometimes people don't want to have their comments on air, and we can always include them in a mailbag next week, where we give thoughts to all of the stuff that we get written to us. But yeah, 503-231-8187. It's Juneteenth. It's Pride. How are you practicing solidarity? Give us a call. And yeah, it's a difficult question, but it's also an easy question. You might be doing more than you think. And I'd love to hear, you know, if there are ways that folks could be practicing more solidarity or actions that might be recommended.
And we have our first caller. Edie, can you hear us? You're on the air.
Thank you. What I do is I think about what is my highest sense of right, and whatever I want changed somewhere else, I think what I can do in my own thinking and prayer, in my own interpersonal relationships, and in my civic duty and responsibility where I am in Portland. And so for me, good anywhere is good for everyone, everywhere. And likewise, selfishness, fear, laziness, greed, you know, is and environmental harm is harmful for everyone, everywhere. So I, for example, on Sunday the 19th, that is Father's Day, and I kind of uplift a non-patriarchal, non-misogynist perspective in rethinking gender, et cetera. It is this celebration of our 6 weeks in which we had Occupy ICE, and that was a solidarity of folks looking at indigenous rights, land back, stopping militarization and theft, colonization in Latin America, taking care of our immigrant refugees, and helping our locally houseless and on victims of police brutality and food security. So we were kind of taking care of a lot of issues at once. And it's also Pride, and I'm also going to be marching in celebration and recruiting for Jamie McLeod Skinner to be representing the state of Oregon in the U.S. Congress, because she unites the rural, urban, environmental, and jobs. She's an engineer, she's a lawyer, she's a civil rights organizer, she's a public administrator, so, and she's a rancher. So she's a way in which bridging indigenous rights, water, land rights, protecting us from the lithium mining that would take over the Idaho-Oregon border and the frack gas. So Sunday, I'm going to be celebrating that we can have love and respect for everyone across the board. And that includes all the people around the world, Ukraine, Yemeni, et cetera, where they are being harmed because of greed for the fossil fuel industry. So we can stand in solidarity, and I can do all of that. And one happy day of celebration, also enjoying a better relationship with my daughter.
That's nice.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was beautiful. And yeah. It goes to show you can do all of these. You can feel so overwhelmed with all the earth's ills, and have not just in one day, but in addition to every day fighting for these things, having one day where all of these things come together, and there's so much beauty and joy in coming together too, and in understanding our shared, like our solidarity, but our shared fights and struggles, and seeing how it affects us here. And also, it got me thinking to what Edie was saying in the beginning, the MLK quota, what injustice anywhere is threat to justice everywhere.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
We love that quote. If other folks want to call in, how do you practice solidarity? 503-231-8187 is the number.
Yeah. And I can understand the question, you know, like it can be it could be confusing, maybe. And you could say, well, why do you care about something that's happening so far away when you should, quote unquote, you know, air quotes, I'm putting air quotes on everything. You should care about something that's happening here. One doesn't negate the other.
Right.
All. If anything, you have a stronger understanding of, again, the system itself and how it impacts in different ways.
I had a couple of idiomatic thoughts. One, yes. A rising tide lifts all ships.
Oh.
And you can't set somebody else on. No, it's not. You can't set yourself on fire. There's a tendency to cannibalize causes because one deserves more attention than the other, as opposed to every and all can be supported at the same time. And there may be particular like inflection points or moments that like, hey, we got to focus on this to get this done right now, but excluding all else and sticking to only one, or like, this is, I mean, I think it's also helpful to focus in your own community about the things that you do have like immediate power to change, and things you have power to change in your own life, but that it doesn't need to be limited in that way, you know.
It's always fun. I always try to, when I, you know, learn something new, I always try to get a source from what would be. I'm like, I'm not the most special person in the world. I'm sure there is like an equivalent of me or Kibu or something at whatever place I'm learning about, you know?
Yeah.
And kind of just get my resources from that and like try. And it, we're really lucky because there's a strong opposition here in the States. You know, there's some places where, you know, dissent is squashed immediately, swiftly, and very violently, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely thinking about, yeah, internationally, that can often be the case. If folks want to call in, that number is 503-231-8187. Let us know, how do you practice solidarity? We're talking Juneteenth. We're talking Pride. We're talking Father's Day, if you want to talk Father's Day. Let us know what you think. 503-231-8187.
And we do have Tawasi on the line. Can you hear us? You're on the air.
I hear you, and I hear you quite solidly. You know, solidarity is one of those things that it seems like it would be difficult to offer, but you can really give it to anybody. And one of the people who I try and be most in solidarity with are cashiers. Because we live in this weird capitalist society, then cashiers are constantly helping me. And, you know, they help so many people every single day. And I bet a lot of people are not in solidarity with cashiers because they have to wait in line to talk to them. And then they're the people who take their money. But, you know, cashiers, they need, I don't know whether they need it. I never have been one. But for me, just, you know, standing there and telling them thank you and recognizing, you know, some places they're in unions. Mm-hmm. You go into Safeway, that's a union cashier. And you know, that they represent a need that society has that a lot of times goes undervalued. They are one of our most essential workers in the COVID essential workers scheme of value. And I'm in solidarity with them. And then the other solidarity that I've expressed just about every day is to postal workers, because I see them constantly, and they're also in unions, and they do all of this work for me that I'm constantly thankful for. So, you know, if you are having a hard time recognizing how to be in solidarity with someone, a good easy step is to see the people in your life who you interact with that are part of unions and just thank them.
Totally.
That.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was, service industry folks, man, the stuff that they have to deal with. Woof.
Well, and what they're, you know, just what they're going through right now, especially with, you know, larger unionization campaigns at Starbucks and Amazon. Mm. And the union busting pushback that pushback undercuts it, what they're facing. Like that's really brave, you know? And that, you know, organizing like that is like pushing back on this entire system of telling you that as a worker, you're not worth anything and you don't deserve anything.
Right. You should be thankful that you're even getting paid.
Yeah. I mean that like, boycotting particular stores in the event of union busting is an easy solidarity thing.
Yeah. There it is. You said it.
I found one.
Another way. Yeah.
Picked one up for you.
Shopping in a place or not shopping at a place.
Shopping. Yeah. What can you do with your dollar? That's one.
Yeah. There's, going back to, I keep saying the other store's name, to New Seasons, I saw in the, in the Seven Corners location, they've just been having like COVID outbreaks constantly and Ooh. Staff.
Yeah.
And what do you remember at 7 p.m. we used to go outside and clap?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, there was new statistics that came out that essential workers, far more than any other working group, died from COVID.
Which wonder why.
Yeah, not necessarily too surprised about that.
Like Tawasi said, standing, it's easier to do, it's more, I don't know about easy, but it is more available than maybe we think it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. I think, like, in terms of, it can be, I would say it can be more manageable to mm-hmm. think about change in your own community rather mm-hmm. than, oh my goodness, the world is so big and there's so many terrible things happening. How can I possibly, for one, sit with that emotionally? Second, do anything that feels, you know, powerful enough to get out of that feeling of like dread and anxiety and fear, you know? So I think focusing on local stuff can be super helpful.
And it's, you know, we live in a world of globalization. So, you know, that's also nothing is really just here, you know? Oh, man, you made me think of something, but it slipped right out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Got to start writing this stuff down.
I have an anecdote, if you'll permit me.
Sure.
It's about another radio station and this clip that they keep airing for Pride Month, which is great. I would love, they're like, this is how Katy Perry celebrates Pride. And it's just, it's not a very good clip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they like didn't have, you know, rights to her saying something better about Pride, but like we asked Katy Perry, like, how do you support Pride or whatever? And she's like, I just think that it's when it's in your community, you start with yourself and your own circle and you see and you do, and it's like really vague and it doesn't really make sense, but they're airing it multiple times a day. Mm. And I don't know that they interviewed any other like musician or anything about, you know, Pride or solidarity with the LGBTQ community.
Right.
They just keep airing this like really, I don't know, milquetoast quote from Katy Perry where she won't even say, she's like, she won't even confirm that there are like LGBTQ people like in her life or like that she cares for on an interpersonal level, which I feel like is at least one cop out of that question, you know, like that would be reasonable. I don't know. I every time I hear it, it kind of, I'm like, what the heck, you guys? Like, this isn't that good of a quote. Like, you guys should not be airing it this much.
Maybe they're just stoked that they got like a celebrity thing.
Like, yeah, they're like, we got a little celebrity spot. We got to let the people know that Katy Perry has a pretty non-committal answer about this.
Well, okay.
I mean, I think it's a hard question of how do you practice solidarity with this entire, with an entire community, you know?
But I think sometimes, and it might be another cop out, but in my experience, sometimes staying out of the way of progress and staying out of the way of the people that are on the front lines can kind of be the best thing that you can do.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be on the front lines dealing with this, you can donate, you know?
Yeah.
Or you can just not actively
donate your time.
Yeah, donate your time, funds, resources, hard skills, soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a Canva account that you want to share with someone and then they can make flyers and things like that. Just
we've become
not,
Canva fans on this show, unfortunately.
To just not be actively against progress could be a nice way of solidarity, you know?
Yeah.
I
mean, there. I think like it can be easy to get stuck in like awareness, you know? But I think that like, even if you don't have the kind of resources to offer that you might want to, like, there might be somebody in your life that does. So go talk to them about it. Don't hide your light under a bushel or whatever it is that they
say. Look at you. You're full of those today.
I got a lot of idioms.
But you got a book on about it? What's up?
Yeah, I'm just flipping through and seeing what I can find right here.
Well, I have a couple more minutes left of the show. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, let us know, how do you practice solidarity? Call on in 503-231-8187. We're talking across the board, really. And considering that Juneteenth and Pride are happening this weekend, so many celebrations. You know, a beautiful time for intersectionality and acknowledgments and building solidarity, building community, and figuring out how can we do a little bit better.
How can we all help each other?
Yes.
You know,
they say, be nice to each other. Be nice to each other, so you can be dangerous together.
Yes, I love that. Yes. Sorry, I didn't know where you were going with it.
You never, you know, this is an enigma.
Yeah,
it's like a ship on sand.
A ship on sand, yeah. Not ships passing in the night.
No, and it's not a shipwreck either.
Okay,
it's just a ship and you say this can't
be. Is it
be
a mirage?
These are the questions.
Okay, let's not get too deep in the weeds on our idiom. But now I keep thinking of a rising tide lifts all ships, which I feel very strongly about that idiom. I think that it is very good and that, you know, it can be easy to get caught up in your own self-interest occasionally, or perhaps more often your own convenience,
sure,
your own like default point of view.
or but, your own thing of, but I want to be special.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, you're not, none of us are. It's okay.
You're both, you're special and unspecial in equal measure. And that's kind of beautiful in a way. It's both, it's freeing to be special and unspecial in equal measure.
And to think you have to do, it's, I think also, I wonder how many times people get in their own way because they're trying to be something someone else told them they need to be, you know, or live in, and then it's like, I don't want to say animosity, but like it creates like, well, I want to be able to do that, but I am building, you know, I am not allowing myself, but look at them, they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's that. And again, I've been told to be something and I am not that at all. And I'm so much happier that I'm not that, that I've just decided to be myself, you know, but it's really hard. And it's like, I've held resentments for people because they were free. Like just full on free. I'm like, well, why? How come you can do that? I want to do that too.
Yeah.
And no one at any point was like, you can't be free. Like, you know, like it's more of like, you want to be free with us? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, come on, let's
like
it.
That. Well, and I think like to highlight something you said earlier in the show of thinking about like, what is your own value? What do you already have? You know, what is it that I'm bringing to the table right now without even like going new places or trying new things, you know, it's starting from there, I think is helpful. But yeah, now I'm just thinking about what you said about, I was mad at people for being free.
It's a thinker.
I only have a
minute 23, so don't you get too pensive.
Sorry.
Looking over the horizon, the tides and the ships and all this.
I'm seeing the ships and the sand and the mirage.
Oh God,
might be a little bit. Guess what? In the weeds.
503-231-8187. Got a couple of moments left of the show.
Yes.
We'd love to hear your input. Love what we've heard so far. And yeah, also, what does solidarity look like? You tell me. It can be whatever you want it to be. What it isn't, it's not harmful, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you think that you're in solidarity with someone when you're actually causing harm. Mm-hmm. So like ask.
You got to get curious.
Yes. Curious.
Getting curious is a big part of it.
Yeah, and being like, well, how does this, wait a minute, but this and then that, you know, like when we had that interview with Henna about G4S
from Super
PDX, I was just like, wow, it's so intertwined with acts of genocide that's happening around the world, and it's silly to think that we have nothing to do with it. That's like, really, it's silly. It's there's. No, we are doing a lot all around, and things are being done in our names, and if we're doing them and if they're being done, if we're co-signing on this, how about if we don't co-sign on violence across the world?
Yeah.
Because it happens across the world, free research and development, and then it comes here in order to patrol black and brown communities. So what we didn't do anything besides, it's not aid, it's investments, you know?
Right.
So, foreign policy is not far. It's not foreign.
No,
it is not foreign at all.
If folks want to go back and listen to our interview with Henna from Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights at PSU, that is on the website kbu.fm/thegap. A lot of interesting stuff. But I mean, that goes to your point about globalization. Even things that seem far away seem like, you know, that we may be able to understand through like news consumption and stuff. It seems like those systems are so far from us, but in a globalized world, they're really not.
Yeah. And and how connected that we are now, and all of these stories and incidences, they just, you know, like they have like the thing with the 39 dudes in the U-Haul, 31 dudes in the U-Haul.
They don't have 39 friends. They just have 31.
Like someone was recording that on a camera phone and it got out. Same with the murder of George Floyd. Like so many different things that we are so much more connected. And I think it's only logical, or excuse me, it could be one natural direction that we go in which we start understanding each other's struggles more, and how like white supremacy, for example, impacts us here in Portland specifically, how it impacts people in other countries, in other communities, in the States. And I wonder if that also has another side of it where it creates the type of stuff that we're saying, like the rise of white supremacy, you know, because of that, because we are so much, we're
so interconnected.
It can't just be like a one, like all good. It, you know, like nothing is, in my opinion, I've yet to find something that's all good. Like there's always going to be something, you know, let's say double-edged sword, whatever.
Yeah. But I would also say like, don't, I don't know. I think I've definitely heard people get caught up in that there is no like, I don't know, pure organization to support or something like that.
Sure.
That, but this is the real world.
And it's purity not, is not, we're not angels. Perfection not, is,
yeah.
This perfection is also another sign of, you know.
Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
You know who said that?
Who?
I think it was Obama. It might not. Obama said something around the lines of.
Yeah, he probably said it about the ACA.
Perfect is enemy of the good.
I have to remind myself that sometimes. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yes. Yes. Was it paralysis by overanalysis?
Thank you.
There it is. And we have,
we're out of time.
30 seconds left.
Oh, shoot. Well, thanks for listening to The Gap, everybody. I'm Althea. Tammy is here with me. Say hi.
Hello and goodbye. We'll Hello see you and next goodbye. Week.
Thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.
Take care.
Happy Juneteenth. Happy Pride.
Yay.
Portland.
KBOO is looking for our next membership director. KBOO's members are the heart and soul of our community, and we need a dedicated person to honor and foster this relationship. Are you the right person to steward and manage KBOO's membership department, or do you know someone who is? Go to kboo.fm to learn more about the essential functions of the membership director and the qualifications we are looking for.